This is Age of Treason Radio. On the White Network.
And Daddy always smiled, took me by the hand, saying someday you'll understand. Well, I'm here to tell you now that you never mother's son. You better learn it fast, you better learn it young, for someday it never comes.
With your host, Tan Stoffel.
The title of this installment is Race and Blood Part 2. I'm going to pick up where I left off last time with facts about blood. And I'll link in the post a story here about recent science news about the roots of the ABO blood system. Where did this come from? And we know that the roots are genetic, but how far back do those genetics go? And according to this article, and I want to make a caveat here that, of course, articles in the pop in the news about science results aren't always accurate, but I think we get the general gist here without focusing on too much on the details or digging it too seriously. But it claims that recent science has uncovered that the ABNO blood types evolved at least 20 million years ago, and that explains why they're distributed so widely across the human race. And also, I'm not sure that this article mentions it much, but the other closer related primates, like apes, have similar blood genetics and also have blood types. But another fact, that 20 million years ago, that the link that they found was in a common ancestor between humans and primates. The O, I found out from this article, stands for the German word ohne, O-H-N-E, which means without, and the idea being that, type O is without the A or the B antigen. It turns out that that's not quite true, but that's where the O comes from. I always wondered about that, and that's the only place I've ever seen that mentioned. This article also had a couple of other little facts that I hadn't seen mentioned elsewhere. Type O people, for example, are more susceptible to cholera and plague, while people with type A are more susceptible to smallpox. And I didn't know that at all about blood types making you more or less susceptible to different types of disease. But that also would explain why there's different mixes of the different types that, based on what kind of disease is the European or the Asian or the African populations were exposed to. And we know, I didn't mention it the last time because I had mentioned it when I talked about blood in the context of the races of mankind, but the Amerindian people, especially in South and Central America, but even extending up into the North, were almost purely 100% O positive blood type. They were uniformly O positive. There's a good reference here about the science of blood as it's known today, with the latest advances, the latest information. And that is available, a good summary of it, at a website called Stedman's Online. And this is a commercial site. It doesn't make the stuff freely available, but somehow Google found the link to the PDF I'm going to refer to, and I'm going to link, titled Blood Groups. And Stedman's, as I say, is a commercial enterprise, but it describes itself as the authoritative, comprehensive, and trusted brand that the medical community has relied upon for accurate medical information for the past 100 years. So, it is pretty sober, cut and dried information. I'm going to read a few of the little facts that I learned about blood here. It mentions in the section about, and it's listed alphabetically, so you'll notice an alphabetic sequence here. It starts off with the ABO blood group, and it says cells of type O do not simply lack the antigenetic substance. of A and B. Most have an antigen called H that is chemically similar to A and B, but it's probably a precursor antigen that's modified under the influence of other genes. And in fact, they make a distinction here between a type A1 and a type A2. And let me skip ahead some of this. I don't want to just read a whole bunch of wall of text. But apparently there's also A3, A4, A5, AX, and AZ. And more rarely, there are also weak variants of B that have been found. Now, all of these variants are just sort of refinements or more subtle distinctions between the major type A and the major type B. And by the way, the AB blood type is mixtures of all these things. You can have an A3 plus some variant of B, or an AX plus some variant of B. It gets really weird that there's lots and lots of these different combinations. But for the most part, for government work, it's okay to just call all of these variants of A, and they're compatible. And what that means is that the symptoms that you see when you get a transfusion of a, say you're an A1 and you get a transfusion of A2 type blood, well, first of all, you're probably not getting pure A2. You're probably getting a mixture of blood from a bunch of donors. But it's very likely going to be some variant of A. I don't think they really test the blood for donation and blood transfusion purposes down to this level of A1, A2, and so forth. But it will. That's where you get these milder symptoms, the allergic type reactions that aren't life-threatening. And that's why these things weren't discovered. The major blood types were discovered because they caused major problems when you mix them, whereas these other subtle differences were determined afterwards. And it turns out they have more subtle the genetic mutations behind them are simpler mutations and more recently developed mutations. There's no mention in this dry scientific Stedman's Online source, though, about the differences in distribution and frequency of the A, B, and O blood types. And I would think that's an important fact that should have been mentioned. This is a dictionary. This is from a dictionary that is intended. It's aimed at doctors to sort of summarize what's known about this subject. And that seems like a pretty big gap there to be missing that. But it does mention lots and lots of other things about different blood types. The next one I made a note of here is Dombrock blood group. This group includes antigens DOA and DOB and is found slightly more often in white patients. Now, this is an example of, as I said earlier, the scientists and doctors, they still deal with race. They still talk about white patients and black patients, and nobody makes a big deal out of it because it's a fact. It's, you know, they're not saying that you know, black people should be kept out of white people's countries because of it, and that's why they are able to get away with it. But the fact is, white exists well enough for this medical dictionary to mention it. The Duffy blood group, this is a pretty significant one, and I have quite a bit to say about Duffy. Blood from whites is agglutinated by one or more or both antigens. Most blacks, however, and some Yemeni Jews have negative test reactions to both antigens. In other words, they're just saying here, that's kind of a technical way of saying that whites, and it turns out most people, are Duffy positive. I don't even know Duffy positive versus Duffy negative, but that blacks are different. And also Yemeni Jews are closer to blacks in that respect. Duffy antibodies occasionally cause transfusion reactions or erythroblastosis fetalis. I think that's one of the complications that having to do with carrying a baby. That's a technical term for it. More on Duffy in a bit. Gerbich blood group, they mention, and for this they say the incidence of the three high incidence antigens is found in all populations except Melanesians. So the Melanesians, the Pacific Islanders, or a particular subset of the Pacific Islanders, don't have this. And this also causes transfusion problems and problems with newborns. There's an Indian blood group, and this is a recently discovered blood group with two antigens in it, one of which, the INA is somewhat low incidence, and the INB is high incidence. It's 96% of whites and 96% of Indians. They don't mention any other groups, so but the fact that they mention whites and Indians specifically makes me think it's some sort of Indo-Aryan or Indo-European thing. It's an Aryan trait. Who knows? But they don't mention Africans or Amerindians or Asians in general. Again, this causes transfusion reactions and newborn problems. They also mention the Sutter blood group. This occurs in about 20% of American blacks, but is rare in other ethnic groups. Sutter antibodies have been implicated in transfusion reactions and newborn problems. So there's a good, that's a pretty good summary of the science of blood, although it has those gaps and lackings, as I mentioned. There's a pretty decent New York Times article and that I'll link from 1990. And this is a mixture of smart and stupid at the same time, having to do with blood and race. It's a report about, it's titled Donors' Races to be Sought to Identify Rare Blood Types. To ease a chronic shortage of rare blood types, the New York Blood Center will for the first time begin asking donors to volunteer information about their racial and ethnic backgrounds, because it's important. The program is to begin on Monday. Scientists at the center say they hope they will enable them to better provide rare blood types or blood found in about 1 in 10,000 people. The center is especially concerned about groups underrepresented by donors, like black and Hispanic. So here we see that fact that I mentioned in the last installment about blacks being underrepresented as donors, and here they add to it that Hispanics are known 10 years ago, or 13 years ago now, that Hispanics are also underrepresented as donors. And let's see, I'm going to skip big parts of this, but there were some important things here. Is to forgive me while I scan. Oh, here's an interesting quote from a doctor. For example, the U negative blood type occurs only in black people, said W. Lawrence Marsh, Dr. W. Lawrence Marsh, senior vice president of the center. Quote, no white person has ever been found to be U negative. It is a blood type just like any other, but it doesn't occur very much. And if you need U negative for any person, then you have got to have black donors. And so the problem for us is to identify black donors. It makes no sense to screen 100,000 whites for U negative when no U negative white person has ever been found. And that sums up a point I've made two or three times now about the relation between blood type and race. It's right there. And as I said, it's okay in this case because it's about helping black people. Even though they're not frequent donors, they're not they don't donate in the proportion. They're underrepresented, which is kind of a nice way of putting it. They don't donate blood. And so that's why they have a problem here, and that's why they have to write an article like this. Conversely, the same doctor mentions, whites, only whites, have blood types Vel negative and Lan negative. I had seen references to those elsewhere, but I didn't look into any more detail about that. I mentioned them here just to show you. Even the New York Times can say the facts flat out about race and blood when they want. Skipping a little further ahead is a section titled Memories of Segregation. Knowing the ethnic background of a blood donor can also help the blood center, they say. But they concede that because of historical racist segregation of blood, there may be objections to the new program, especially if people do not fully understand it. But they emphasize that donors do not have to disclose this information. And they reveal here that blood centers have often been deciding what the race of a donor is by them, you know, based on what they think, based on the appearance of the person, and just checking off boxes, which is at best imprecise, they say, as if, you know, somebody's own self-image of what they are is going to be better. It's actually less objective. Those who have the greatest difficulty getting the blood they need in an emergency are members of racial or ethnic minorities that do not give blood often. That's just reiterating the point made earlier. the American Red Cross studied donors in the United States in 1986 and found that 95% of them were white and 4% were black. So that's a little bit different than the 1 or 2% number that the blood book site provided. But earlier in the paragraph, it mentions how this information is not usually gathered. Nobody knows, because this is one of the things about the taboo of race and how it makes us stupid. They have explanations, of course, little pamphlets that have to go out with this change in policy to try and explain that there is no such thing as black blood or white blood or American Indian blood. And knowing the ethnic and racial backgrounds, this is where they contradict themselves in the same sentence, will help the center quickly provide the right types of blood to those who need it. So, yeah, there's no it's not black and white, but it is a racial difference. Race is important. They agreed that the center's approach, this is another pair of doctors, agreed that the center's approach might be helpful to black and Hispanic patients who were having trouble getting the blood they need. If it were to help white people, of course, it would be racism. But since it's to help blacks and Hispanics, it's okay. So that's a very interesting article in the New York Times that I'll provide a link to. Back to this blood book website, they have another page here about titled Racial and Ethnic Distribution of the ABO Blood Types. And as the chart below reveals, the frequency and purity of the four main ABO blood groups vary in populations throughout the world. Great variation occurs in different groups within a given country, even a small country, as one ethnic group mixes or not with another. Blood type purity depends on migration, disease, interrelational reproductive opportunity, traditions and customs, geography, and the initial blood type assigned. And this is an important part here because they're talking about the effects of political correctness and anti-racism. Publishing the ethnic differences in blood type and the racial differences in blood type is not, in the present-day world, considered to be politically correct. We compile and maintain this database, though, and thanks to oftentimes reliable, confidential sources. Every blood-gathering entity in the world must gather this information to stay in business, but almost every one of them is afraid to publish the racial and ethnic differences in blood type, given the emotionally charged political climate. For example, early European races are characterized by a very low B frequency and a relatively high type A frequency, while the Asiatic races are characterized by a high frequency of types A and B. They mentioned that not only are there A, B, and O, of course, there's the Rh factor, and there are 260, quote-unquote, minor antigens, which have also been identified. I'm not going to talk about all 260, but maybe about a dozen altogether. Last time and this time. And many of these others are minor antigens are quote unquote rare. But they can be life or death. Or just allergic reaction. All blood types are inherited, and therefore certain rare blood combinations are more common in specific ethnic and racial groups. The overriding problem in obtaining and publishing this information in the United States and to a slightly lesser extent in Western Europe is political correctness. It is not nice to talk about the ways I may be different from you. So this page is written in a bit of a folksy style, but it's probably someone like me who went out and gathered a bunch of information about blood and made a web page about it where they tried to be a little bit more frank about it than usual. The chart that they provide shows that interesting fact about Amerindians having nearly 100% O positive blood. Another page on the same site is titled Rare Blood Types, and they talk about how these minor blood groups can complicate blood transfusions. It is also very important to know the race or ethnic background of a blood donor or candidate for a blood transfusion. That's just reiterating what we know already. And they provide a short table with about half a dozen different groups and their different blood types. They mention African American blacks and the U blood type and the Duffy and Amerindians and Alaskans as having RZ, and I didn't find any other reference to that. But for what it's worth, I'll provide this table in the post. It's a couple others. Hispanics, DI, Russian Jews have DR, whites have KP and VEL. So this is reiterated by the American Red Cross, another page of theirs on blood and diversity. It's actually a much shorter page, very small page. It has the same table, and probably this blood book site got their table from the American Red Cross, I'm guessing. They mention the importance of type O. Now, this is, again, a mix of smart and stupid. They're acknowledging that there are differences, but then they have to add this politically correct sauce to that acknowledgement, and this is how they do it. They say the importance of type O. Different ethnic and racial groups have different frequency of the main blood types in their populations. For instance, blah, 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 the different percentages. Type O is routinely in short supply and in high demand by hospitals, both because it is most common blood type and because type O negative blood in particular is the universal type needed for emergency transfusions. Minority and diverse populations, therefore, play a critical role in meeting the constant need for blood. Except we know from other sources that they don't donate these minority groups. So it's a lie. It's an exaggeration. It's my first thought at this, before I knew those other facts about blacks and Latinos not being good donors, is that what they're basically acknowledging here is that we're exploiting these minorities, that they're, you know, and what the point they're trying to make not so subtly here is these people help whites, and you owe them because they help with the blood. And of course, the reality, though, is that they don't. It's just a fantasy that blacks and Latinos are necessary to supply us with O blood. So about Duffy, I want to talk a little bit about Duffy blood type here. I'm going to go pretty quick, but it's caused by what's called a single nucleotide polymorphism. That means just one little letter of the DNA changes, and that difference is enough to create a blood incompatibility. And it shows you that the tiniest little difference in DNA can have a significant difference in the real world, in the world that we can actually experience. So for what that's worth, the link that I'll provide about this information talks about population genetics. Well, that's a euphemism for race. Under that section, they say differences in the racial distribution of the Duffy antigens were discovered in 1954, when it was found that the overwhelming majority of blacks have FY, AB, A negative, B negative, whatever. The symbols here look a bit like an alphabet soup. It's a little bit hard to deal with. But basically, it's 68% in African Americans have this, and 88 to 100% in African blacks. So the more pure black they are, the more pure African they are, the more likely they are to have this Duffy difference. And it's exceedingly rare in whites. But as we know previously, and they mentioned it, they reiterated it here, Yemenite Jews also have it, like blacks do, or don't have it. You know, I can't keep it straight here. Whether Duffy's, the Duffy difference is that somebody has it and somebody doesn't. It doesn't really matter. It's a difference. There's clinical significance to this Duffy difference. One is asthma. Asthma is more common, and I didn't know this, but it tends to be more common and more severe in those of African descent. There's something called benign ethnic neutropenia, which is blacks are apparently known to have a persistently lower white blood cell count than the normal range defined for individuals of European ancestry. Didn't know that. And this condition is also found in Arab Jordanians, Black Bedouin, Falasha Jews, Yemenite Jews, and West Indians. HIV infection, apparently this Duffy's thing is related to HIV susceptibility. It makes you more susceptible to HIV. Prostate cancer. Experimental work has suggested that whatever Europeans have that's Duffy actually inhibits prostate tumor growth. So whites have a bit of a benefit there because of Duffy, the Duffy difference. Duffy is one of those things that can create a transfusion reaction. They don't mention anything here about baby having the effect. Another major blood difference is this Diego blood antigen, or the Diego blood group. And this was discovered in 1955, and further developments went on in 1967, 1995. In fact, there was a sequence of discoveries, but I may have to skip over some of the tech. I'll link to the technical details about this Diego blood group. But it's basically found mostly in populations of Mongolian descent. It's sort of like how rhesus negative is a European thing. This Diego blood group thing, or at least DIA, is mainly found in populations of Mongolian. That means the Amerindians and the people that they're related to racially, the Chinese and Japanese and East Asians. Let's see here. The most common Diego phenotype is DIA negative B plus, which is found in over 99% of Caucasians and Black and over 90% in Asians. The DIA plus B plus is found in 10% of Asians. So there's a racial difference there. And let me just skip here because I think I'm running out of time. But there was a progression. There's another article about the history of the Diego blood group and how initially it was considered to be a private factor because it was found in a single woman whose name was Diego. That's where the name comes from. But then they realized that it was sort of an Indian factor, and they started to think of it as an Indian factor because they found it in Carib Indians and in some other tribe in Brazil. And so these tribes in Venezuela and Brazil, they found it in. And then because somebody ignored the anti-racist ideology that we have to, you know, pretend race doesn't exist, they said, hey, wait a minute. These Amerindians, we know that they're genetically related to East Asians, so let's look there for a link. And sure enough, that's when they found that 2 to 8% of Japanese. Now, I forgot to mention, when they were investigating the Indian factor, they found that in Venezuela, there was some 35% of these Carib Indians had this, and the other tribe had 45%. In Japan, it's like 2 to 8%. Well, let me jump to my conclusion here. I'm going to wrap up on this blood stuff by saying that these differences in blood proteins can have life or death consequences affecting transfusion, transplantation, and childbearing. Not always life and death, but it can be that serious. The differences are rooted in genes. They're heritable. That means they're racial. And the anti-racist dogma that race isn't biological or isn't significant is just plain wrong. And it creates a cognitive dissonance when it meets reality. That's what you feel, this weird feeling when you see people saying things that contradict each other. Where would blood science be if it wasn't for this kind of interference? Race isn't interfering in blood science. Anti-racism is.